This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson.
Hello, I'm Carter Brown, director of the National Gallery of Art. I hope you have your walking shoes on today, because you're about to join me on a whirlwind tour of some of the highlights of the gallery's paintings collection here in the West Building.
Remember old museum audio tours, the big, clunky tape recorder slung over your shoulder?
So whenever you hear this signal, you should turn off your acoustic guide until you find our next stop, which will be more than a few steps away.
How things have changed, progressed. Today's audio equipment is elegant, like those handheld wands that have no cords to get tangled up in. And because it's all digital now, you can skip around easily. But for lots of art lovers out there, it's not enough. The MP3 age is shaking up the form as well as the content of museum tours. And we sent Amy Reinhardt to find out exactly how.
When audio tours came onto the scene, they weren't something most museums gave a lot of thought to.
They were considered a sort of necessary evil, the interpretive device of choice for the hoi polloi, you know. They were often farmed out to these outside companies.
This is Catherine Potts. She heads exhibition interpretation for the Whitney Museum. When Potts tells people what she does at the Whitney, she's often met with this response.
Oh, I never take the audio guide. And they say it with like a point of pride in their voice. Like you would never say, oh, I never read the newspaper, you know, that you'd be like a dummy. And I think what they are saying is based on a perception of what the audio guide is and that the audio guide content is sort of dull and pedantic and predictable.
It is a really very new subject, a very exciting, edgy new subject, very aggressively wonderful, which is to say, really splendid, opulent. It is made to seduce.
If you turn an audio recording into a talking label, it's boring. Why not read the label?
Part of the problem is that technology and distribution have changed faster than museums can respond.
Museums are notoriously slow. And they do have hierarchies of information control, and they do have a story they want to tell.
This is artist Martha Rossler. When the Whitney revamped its audio tours, she was asked to give her thoughts about her photograph. The audio tour revamp was called American Voices, and it's one of the first tours that stepped away from just having curators talk.
Some museums are better than others at understanding that a new form of engagement with their viewing public is required. Museums, at their peril, fail to notice that they need to engage on the human level.
To hear the curator talk or the director of the museum talk is absolutely, you know, Caravaggio. I don't know, it just gets this lectury thing. And often, you know, within the first three sentences, they've said something that you don't quite understand. And then, for me, my whole security is gone. My sense of confidence is gone. And I feel worried as I listen to the rest of it, like I'm not quite up to listening to this.
Beth Harris records podcast art tours with her friend Stephen Zucker. They're both professors at the Fashion Institute of Technology. Podcasts are 12th-generation ham radios. It's where old-school authority figures, like the MoMA, sit side by side with amateurs.
And we're standing in front of Jackson Pollock's, one of his great seminal signature works, a painting called 131, 1950.
That's a lot of numbers.
He made a real decision.
Is it like Chopin, you know, Nocturne number 22?
It's exactly what it is. He had titles, and actually he would occasionally title again, or sometimes accept the titles that his friends developed for a painting after it was finished. But scholars have thought that Pollock numbered because he wanted not to close down meaning. He wanted the meaning to remain open, and that the system that was used by composers did that.
Oh, that makes sense.
Harris and Zucker bring an iPod and a $40 microphone into the museum and talk about an object. There's no studio. Their vetting process is deleting or posting the file online.
Often one of us will play the person who doesn't know much about it, you know, or sometimes we'll pick a piece that neither of us know that much about. So there's not the expert thing happening so much.
We want these to be completely unscripted because we want our students and the general public to really feel comfortable just walking up and exploring.
But some podcasts are downright questionable. Take this one by Art Mobs, created by professors and students at Marymount Manhattan College.
What is on the right-hand side of that painting? Ooh. Oh. Oh. Oh my God!
Oh my God!
What? Oh my God, you're such a pervert. I can't even say what the... Am I allowed to say what that looks like?
Pollock was acting as the libido for the whole kind of 1950s Americana as a whole.
So he was acting as the libido for America. He was America's libido.
Exactly. He was a big drunken phallus. And he was good at it.
Anyway.
And his paintings are big. They're so big.
Could you please not eat the microphone?
Art Mob spends equal time flirting and pandering to a generation that's grown up with choosing the media they consume, and may be why an institution like the Metropolitan Museum of Art is so cautious.
It isn't about arrogance. We're here to make it accessible and as accessible as possible to our public.
Met President Emily Rafferty.
We seize opportunities as we are ready to undertake them. What our challenge, of course, is a readiness. I think we will flow with the tides of how this technology is developing.
Museums are struggling to figure out how to talk to an audience in an age when people are less formal.
Oh my God, I can't even say what the, am I allowed to say what that looks like?
And in an age when people get information from their own devices, like MP3 players, and at some museums, cell phones. The MoMA had a free cell phone tour for a recent outdoor exhibition. All you had to do was make the call.
Sleepwalkers enlist the existing soundtrack of the city, the noise around us that we normally seldom register.
Pause for a moment to watch the images and see how they interact with the sounds of the city.
When you are ready to continue this commentary, press 3 and the pound.
Catherine Potts says that the Whitney Museum is considering adding cell phone tours.
If every person coming through the door had their MP3 player already in their pocket, that would be terrific. The fact that they have a cell phone in their pocket now may argue for us going to a cell phone format. And what's really exciting about the cell phone and probably the portable media players of the future is that they'll allow a more reciprocal relationship between the visitor and the museum.
A little back and forth with the museum sounds great, but it can also bring you back to reality.
I'm sorry, that command isn't valid. Please try again.
Just when you were considering if Jackson Pollock really was the libido for America. For Studio 360, I'm Amy Reinhart.
Homemade podcasts are just one example of the new ways that modern media lets us reshape and customize our experiences of pretty much everything. But can state-of-the-art media techniques also help us better appreciate African wildlife? The writer Jack Handy thinks so.